The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for filling us with your love to the point that we can love you back. Thank you for loving us the way you do, for forgiving us, for being our God, our Father. Thank you for this wonderful privilege to also be able to love you. And we ask that this morning that we be transformed and changed. Give us encounters, experiences that will not leave us the same. Change us by the power of your word and by the mighty working of your spirit in this place. Let everyone here live with a testimony. Let everyone live with an experience, positive one, they will never forget all their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Do you want to shout a louder amen?
Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Give a very warm welcome to your neighbor before you have your seat. Hallelujah. Good morning. You're welcome. Hallelujah. God is helping us. And we're getting better and better. It's February. And today is 15th. We'll be having a good time this month. So the month already has gone half. Amen. Praise God. So, you know, the interesting thing is that next Sunday is the last Sunday of the month. Are you aware? I'm telling you for real. Next Sunday is 22nd. That's the last Sunday of this month. Why do your face like that? Why are you surprised? Amen. The Sunday after that is 1st of March. Can you see now? So I hope that doesn't put you under pressure to start thinking of what you've achieved this year. But I'm just telling you the reality. It's the last Sunday, by next Sunday. It's going to be a good time though. But the year is really running. That's why if you have your plans already, you should be executing them already. Shouldn't still be, if not, start working on your plans already. Are you getting the point? But the year is counting. 2 months, by next Sunday, we're counting 2 months gone. Amen. Then 10 months to go. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm the pressure sent to trouble your life, to make your life comfortable. Praise God. But then, it's been a beautiful year so far. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. You know, it was last week I was thinking about it. I'm teaching about love, the love of Jesus in February. If I had remembered this month was Valentine's month, I wouldn't have thought on this. I don't like those kind of cliche things. How to find love on February 14th. Why is that the only day we're preaching it? Praise God, I don't like it. But this love teaching is not about relationship. I hope you know. It's about the love of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So how was yesterday for you? Did you go for evangelism yesterday? Did you preach the gospel? That's all that matters. Well, I had a very good time yesterday at Couples Classic. For the couples. Amen. So if you are not there, you are not meant to be there. And you didn't miss anything. Because it's not your business. Do you understand? That's true. You didn't miss anything. It's not your business. Very soon, Singles Connect is coming. But our aim is that with time, we can move many of you from Singles Connect to Couples Classic. Amen. Very soon. In my head yesterday, when we rounded up yesterday, I already counted at least known 5 couples that will be joining the next Couples Classic. Praise God. You know, the person laughing by your side might be one of them. So, they just pretending. Praise God. I really counted like five. Like I know. More to come. God have many marriages this year. There's a wedding next month. And there's a wedding next 2 months. Can you imagine now? And there is sit down. So God is doing great things among us. Amen. Glory to God. You know, I love the fact that we celebrate weddings here, marriages here a lot. And it's worth celebrating. I'm of the opinion that churches should celebrate weddings, make a big deal out of marriages. If a couple does 1 year anniversary, they should make a big deal out of it. Some get married for only 3 months. Some marry for only 1 week. Are you aware? So I think marriage is a big deal. So if we've been able to marry for 1 year, let nobody tell you, see, not just 1 year. Make a big deal out of it. I get to the point, yes. Marriages are great, so be happy about that. If we do 5 years, we'll throw a party. Yes. If we do 10 years, shut down everywhere. Yes. And believe God, we're going to have good marriages. We are going to have good marriages. We are having them already in this church. It will even get better and better. So make a big deal out of it. And there's nothing wrong with that. We shout about marriages. We celebrate them. We dance about them. And because everything you keep celebrating will continue increasing in your midst. I get to the point. I will celebrate those things. Hallelujah. Well, that's by the way. So today I'm continuing my teaching on what manner of love. So 1 John 3 verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. So he tells us that God loved us so much, and how he, one of the major ways, or the major way rather, that he showed us that love is by making us his sons. And the process of making us his sons had to demand him going to the cross, you see now, to die for us. And we've explained all of that, that the greatest proof of love is that Jesus died on the cross. And you better settle that in your head. There are a lot of people that are waiting to know that God loves them. And what they're checking the things happening around them. So as some people even feel that God loves some other person better than them because of some things going on in their lives. So they just calculate, I don't have a job, that guy has a job. I don't have a wife, that guy has a wife. I'm not tall, that guy is tall. I'm not. And then they put on things together and they say, ah, God obviously loves that guy more. But that's a terrible way to actually check God's love. The Bible actually teaches us that the major proof of the love of God towards you is that he died for you on the cross and he made you his son. So actually, I've explained this since we started. Actually, there is nobody God loves more than the other person. Now that is the truth. There is nobody that God loves more than the other person. However, what is actually the case, two things, is one, there are people who have accepted the love of God and there are others who have not. So, technically speaking, God loves everybody, believer or unbeliever, everybody the same way. I get to the point. The only difference is that the believer has opened his heart to the love of God, the unbeliever has not. Then, when you now come within believers, there is no believer God loves more than another believer. None. God doesn't love Pastor Adeboye more than he loves you. The love is equal. However, there are people, even among believers, who have understanding of that love more than others. So they are experiencing it the more. I agree what I'm saying now. Because they understand it more. Because they know how to cooperate with that love. Because they have full understanding of it. So they are enjoying it more. They know it more. And they are seeing the results of that love more than others. You know, I'll give you guys an example. Imagine in a family there are three children. Maybe there are two children. And the father loves them equally. One is aware the father loves him so much. The other knows that daddy loves him, but he's not that serious. What you find out is that the one that believes he is so loved, I'm talking about last bombs, right? You will find out that they will be bolder to do some things that you cannot try in the house. Some things that that will happen, you think daddy will kill. He will do it and nothing is going to happen. I guess what I'm talking about. They can boldly walk up to the father and ask for things. Because they kind of believe that their father loves them more. And because of that stuff they believe, they will have access and privileges to things that are actually, that is actually available to everybody in the home. But only they will be enjoying it. I get what I'm talking about. If these two people are in school, and that's why it's good to understand the love of God. If these two people are in school, maybe they've gone to school, and both of them, both of them need money. Maybe, let me give an example. They sent them 10,000 on Monday. You know, school can be an interesting place. Like, I sent you 10,000 on Monday, and your parents are thinking they sent you money. And by the time you get to school on Tuesday, one lecturer says his handout is now 3,500. The other lecturer says, if you don't buy this, in one day or 2 days, the 10,000 is gone. Students can relate, Abi. Uh-huh. But what you find that the one that doesn't feel he's well loved will be like, if I call, like after they send money on Monday, I'm calling the girl on Wednesday for more money. So he will endure it. He wouldn't make any move. He will wait for like 3 weeks or so that it can be reasonable. So within those 3 weeks, he'll be crying. Are you getting me? But the other one that believes that he's well loved, we call you back on Tuesday. Are you following me? I said, that money you sent yesterday. He says, you know, I sent money yesterday. It has finished. They asked for handout. They asked for this. They asked for that. And then the father will respond. So most times, it's not actually that the father loves one more than the other. Most times, it's a case of that one is aware of that love more than the other person is. And therefore, will be enjoying certain privileges more than the other person. Whereas, those privileges are available to all of them. Is it very clear to us? And that's why this teaching is so important. That you understand how much God has loved you. It helps you. It helps with what you expect from life. It even helps your prayer life. That's why I'm the kind of person that can ask God for anything once I need it. And I believe God is going to give it to me. And there are many people that are not bold to do that. There are many people that if they say, there are 1,000 people that applied for this job, we need only 5 people. Some people already know it will not be them. But that's not me. I believe it's going to be me. Why? Because I believe God loves me. Somebody's going to ask me, so are you the only one that God loves? No. But I am one of those people that is fully aware of that love. So I will enjoy what others will not. Are you fully what I'm saying? And I gave an example with the prodigal son story. Look at that boy. You know, there were 2 children. The prodigal son, call him prodigal, call him anything. But there's something that stood out about that guy. He knew the father so much. So he came first and asked the father to share everything and give him his portion. The father shared everything. He went outside, squandered the money. That's not a good one to follow. Squandered the money. Came back. And told the father, I accept even as one of your servants. The father accepted him, even threw a full party for him. Now, contrast that with the elder brother. The elder brother was at home. He was complaining. So, my father didn't even give me a small goat. Whereas the other guy has gone squandered the father's money and he's now receiving a party. There are believers who are like that, who feel that by the reason of their own faithfulness, they are entitled to better things than other people. But they don't understand the love of God because they're trying to end those things. Are you following what I'm saying? But there is the other part who may not be so perfect, but they know that God loves them so much. So when they go wrong and they do things, when they sin against God, they can come back to him and say, Dad, I'm sorry. I get to the point. And then keep flowing with him. But there are those other people that think that they deserve or that they merit things based on their works and their efforts. And because of that, they will always not have. I get what I'm talking about this morning. So it's important we're talking about it. So it's good you understand that God loves you. For the past 2 sessions, we've been looking at how understanding the love of God will shape you. And on Thursday, I was showing you that, I'm going to pick up from there. When you understand the love of God, one of the major things it does to you is that he helps you love him back. Do you remember that on Thursday? He helps you. Let me tell you, how to love the Lord is actually by understanding how he has loved you. It's a very simple principle even on earth.
Right? How to love the Lord. So we are looking at Luke 7. Open it. Let's look at it again. Luke 7 verse 47. We're looking at that woman that broke an alabaster box, right, at the feet of Jesus. And other simpler translations that we used showed us that that box was quite very expensive. That perfume was worth 1 year wage. It was a very expensive perfume. And she came to the feet of Jesus and she broke it. And people began to complain. Why are you wasting this kind of money? And Jesus answered them in that Luke 7 verse 47. Jesus said, this woman has loved much because she is forgiving much. Remember that on Thursday? I said, but people who are forgiving little, they love only little. So what's Jesus talking about? When people have a little understanding of their forgiveness and how much God has loved them, that is how they will love the Lord too. But when people have great understanding of how much God has forgiven them and how much God has loved them, they will love the same way. Which is why we are teaching you on the love of God, because as you understand how much God has loved you, it will just be natural that you will love the Lord back too. So I was saying on Thursday, people who say, why you guys are doing too much? You are preaching too much. People are going to church too much. What is lacking is that they've not understood how much God has loved them. When you know how much God has loved you, you will know that there's nothing actually too much. But the reason why you cannot sell out to the Lord fully like that is because you've not seen how much He has loved you. Are you following me, friends? Do you know, even, I said it on Thursday, even with sin, one of the easiest ways to hate sin, to detest sin, is to understand the love of God. It's one of the easiest ways. If you grow in understanding the love of God, you hate sin. Let me prove it to you with a very simple example. If you've ever been in love with someone, maybe romantic love or any kind of love, even maybe your father or your mother, you love the person so much, one of the major things you'll find is that you will be sad when you hurt the person. I get to the point. You will be sad when you offend the person. You will work hard towards not offending that person. And that's how it works. We will understand how much God has loved us. It will be difficult. When we go against Him, there will be this discomfort in our heart. Because we are not just going against a random person. We are going against someone that has loved us so much and shown us so much forgiveness. Are you following the point? Which is why it's important that we grow in our understanding of love. Because that's what I was teaching about it all the while. Love of God is unconditional. Is this? Why have been doing all of those teachings and showing you how much He has loved you? It's because I know that when you understand it, you will love Him more. You will love Him more. You will love Him more. Is understand. So actually, when we gather the church and we're teaching them how to love the Lord, that's okay. But I can tell you the easiest way to love the Lord is to understand how much He has loved you. Once you find out how much He has loved you, you will love Him back too. I'm not talking about loving God back like verbally. Father, I love you. Oh Lord, I love you. Mm-mm. The Bible teaches us how to love God. For instance, the Bible, Jesus told Peter, I said it on Thursday, if you love me, feed my lamb. In other words, if you love God, you will do much ministry. So when you see people not practically loving on the Lord like that, you say, let's go to church. You say, this is your church, is becoming too much. Let's go and preach. Why will I go and preach? What's my own? They've not understood how much God has loved them. As you understand how much God has loved you, you will find yourself going to preach. They will insult you, they will beat you, they will do whatever, but you are happy because you know that this man has loved me so much, so nothing I suffer for His name is even enough. That's why the apostles were able to take all the persecution they took and they didn't crack. Because they knew how much God has shown them love, God has accepted them. So nothing you do to them, in fact, they even counted it a privilege. Are you getting what I'm saying? One of the major ways to get a child, and that's how we are children actually. One of the major ways to get a child to love you, maybe a child is 2 or 3. Every time you are coming to visit the child, buy a gift, show love. Care for the child. You do that over a period of time, the child is looking forward for your next visit. You don't have to say, I love you. Once you are showing acts of love, the child will love you too. That's what Jesus is doing to us. He's loving us so much. He died for us on the cross. He forgives our sins. He's always there for us, always caring for us. He wants to love us to a point that we begin to return the love. Are you following me? Not as payback, but just as something that flows. Because when you understand how much someone has loved you, it is only natural that you love them back. And that's why I said it on Thursday. I want to repeat it. I said to husbands here, this is the duty of a husband. That's why Ephesians 5:25 tells us, husband, love your wife. How? As Christ loves you. The duty of a husband is to love your wife so much that she will have no other option than to begin to return the love. So in a marriage, the same way in Christ and the church relationship, it is Christ that initiates the love and the church reciprocates. I believe it is the man that should initiate love in marriage and the woman reciprocates. Are you following me? So instead of going and telling your woman, you don't love me again. You don't love me like you used to love me. Just love me. Love me. Love me. Love me. That doesn't work. Why not begin to do the same acts of love you are doing when you guys were in courtship? All those small, small notes you are passing to her. All those small, small gifts you are buying. If you begin to do those things, you will just find out that the person will begin to respond how she responded before. Are you getting the point? Point I'm making is that how to get people to love you is not by, and that's apart from relationship, husband about relationship, even friendships. How to make friends, I can tell you a very simple way to make friends. You be a good friend. Do acts of friendship. Do kindness. When you show it to people, the natural thing that they will respond with it. Some people want to be people's friends, but they just want to be shown love. Why not be the one to initiate the love? Because the natural thing is that when you love people so much, they will respond with that love. Most times they do. And that's what God is doing to us. That's why he's loving us so much. And that's why he's getting me to teach you how much he has loved you. So that as you grow in that understanding, you will find yourself loving on the Lord the more. You'll find yourself going to church the more. You'll find yourself committing to him the more. That's why we ended with that song on Thursday. They don't know what you mean to me. That's why you see some of us serve God the way we serve God. It's not because we have no other thing to do. It's because we know how much he has loved us. And we cannot help but love him too. Are you following me, friends? We cannot help but love him too. That's why you see us carrying the work on our head like that. And that's even a good foundation to have for ministry. Listen, don't serve God because of what you will get from God. Don't walk with God because your friends are doing it. Let your walk with God stem from an understanding of how much he has done for you. That way, even if you're serving God and you lose things, you will know that nothing you even lost in the process is compared to how much he has given you in his death and resurrection. I feel I'm talking about. That becomes a solid foundation for ministry. Solid foundation. Solid foundation. So I was explaining this to you on Thursday. Jesus told them in the book of that church, book of Revelation, he said, you have forgotten your first love. Many people use that scripture to haunt Christians. You've forgotten your first love. Go back to your first love. Well, what is first love? First love, he was saying, you have forgotten how you loved the Lord at first. Right? But you know, we've read earlier in the book of John, right, that actually it was God that first loved us. And he loved us. Bible said, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. So he loved us and we are not reciprocating the love. So why did that church forget their first love? Because they forgot the one who first loved them. If you lose sight of how God first loved you, you will eventually stop loving on him like you did before. I'll say that again. If you lose sight of how God first loved you, how much he has loved you, and forgiving you and showing you love, if you lose sight of that, it will not be long. That's what has happened to many pastors today. When they start ministry so passionately. Whether they are getting money or not, they are happy. Whether nobody is even paying them, they're excited because they're doing the ministry. They're doing it because they love God, because they know how much God has loved them. But gradually, they begin to lose sight of that first love. They now begin to compare. How much have I even gotten from this thing I've been doing? I've been here for long, nothing to show for it. You know what's happening? They've lost sight of the reason they were doing it in the first place. What is the reason? He loved me so much, and I'm just loving him back. Never lose sight of that. I get to the point. Never lose sight of how much God has loved you. Never lose sight of how much God has loved you. Because as you grow in that, you will be like that woman who can bring a perfume box worth over 1 year wages. That's what the Bible said. So that perfume was worth over her 1 year salary. And she gathered everything and broke it at the feet of Jesus. And she still felt it wasn't enough. She still used her hair to wipe his feet. Why would she do that? Because she knows how much God has loved her. You see, you can do much for the Lord if you know how much he has loved you. Are you following me, friends? You can give. When you say, why do people give? I know people give for crazy reasons. People give because they want to tap anointing. All those crazy stuff people do. But I tell you, if you understand the love of God, you can give so dangerous that people are wondering, what is wrong with you? You see, all that matters to me is that I want this work to grow. I want this to work. And that is the safest place to give from. Yeah, give from an understanding of how much God has loved you. So see, that woman broke. And you know, why wouldn't she do that? You know who that woman was? You know, she used to be a prostitute. That's what we know. She used to be a prostitute. And in Israel, prostitute, you are lost. Jesus restored her. Forgave her. Gave her standing. Gave her a place in ministry. And all of that. So as she was breaking that alabaster box and wiping her hair with Jesus' feet, she was feeling, this man has done enough for me. What I'm doing is not even enough for him. That's where ministry begins from. I like you to know that God has loved you so much. God has loved you so much. And God keeps loving you all the time. If you've listened to me from part 1, part 2, part 3, by now you shouldn't be doubting that so much has he loved us. Look at the graces he put. Look at even, I started on the first day by talking to you about the talents and abilities that you have. Do you remember that day? He has loved you so much. And I shared with you how he has died for you on the cross, paid for your sins, forgave all your sins, gave you the Holy Spirit. And I showed you how his love is unconditional, how his love is not partial, and how his love never ends. It's never broken. So there is nothing you can ever do for God to unlove you. I get what I'm saying now. That love is constant. When you think about that, you can do everything for him. Can we say that again? Say, Jesus loves me. Praise God. Hallelujah. So when we know how much God has loved us, it is easier for us to love not just him, right? But to love others too. So if I know that I've been loved big by the Lord, I can love others the same way. So the reason many people are struggling, and that's why I wanted to understand what I'm going to say, but I'm going to take you somewhere. If you attend a church where they teach you things like God loves us all, but he loves us conditionally. So what that means is that God loves us, but any day you go against him, he turns his back on you. Now that may look like a safe teaching because it's going to make you become very careful when relating with God. But you know the problem with that? That is the same energy you will give everybody around you. I get to the point. If they do anyhow, they too will stop seeing your own love. So the same kind of love you've received from God will be the same kind of love you try to give others. So that's why when we teach couples about God's unconditional love, they will learn to love their spouses unconditionally. But when we teach a conditional kind of love, then we would have raised people who will only love their spouse when they do right and hate their spouses when they do wrong. And that's how many of us are. That's not perfect love. Ephesians 4:32, he said, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So in other words, you are to mirror the forgiveness of Christ in your forgiveness of others. Let me show you something. John chapter 15. But I want to explain something to you. John 15 and verse 9. Open it. John 15 and verse 9. Look at what it says. He said, as the Father had loved me, so have I loved you. What did he say next? Continue ye in my love. In other words, as you understand how the Father has loved me and how I have loved you, you are to continue in that same love. So it's not about continuing in the love. Abiding in that love. Abiding in that love. Jude verse 21 talks about keeping yourself in the love of God. Now what does that mean? What does it mean to continue in the love, to abide in God's love? It is to be more conscious of how much he has loved us. I get the point. To be more conscious of how constant his love is. It is to rest in that love. It is to grow in the awareness of that love. As you grow in the awareness of how much he has loved you, what it now produces is that you begin to love others the same. So as you abide in his love, what does it mean to abide in his love? To grow in the awareness of that love. To grow. So the love of God cannot grow, but you can grow in the love of God. Right? And growing in the love of God is that you are growing in the awareness of it. You are becoming more aware. You are becoming more conscious of how much he has loved you. As that happens, it is now easy. I'm coming to that, to love others. Let me show you another scripture. 1 John 4, verse 11. 1 John 4, verse 11. Now hear what it says. Now it says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. In other words, we should look at how much God has loved us and carry the same love to others. What this means by implication is that if we are not assured and fully confident in how much God has loved us, it is difficult to love people as we should love them, if not impossible. That's why if you are struggling with loving people, you are struggling with being kind to people, you are struggling with forgiving people totally, you are struggling with accepting people, just learn more about how much God has loved you. As that progresses, you know, people ask me all the time, I'm coming to that, people ask me all the time, sometimes my pastors, my ministers, ministry is a place where you get hurt a lot by people. And people hurt me, and they are aware of some of those things. And then I'll just tell them, well, don't make any noise about it. Just let the matter go. And I really say it, and I mean it. And we don't ever raise those matters again. So as they ask me, how are you able to let go of things easily like that? I don't know. But I know there was a season in my life that I spent time studying on the love of God. Reading books on the love of God. I just saw that I've done so much, and God has forgiven me so much. It shouldn't be too hard. I get to the point. It shouldn't be too hard to give others the same forgiveness. But when we lose sight of how much he has loved us, even simple forgiveness becomes difficult. So a major sign that we are continuing in his love is that we are loving others. Let me put it another way. A major sign that we've understood the love of God is that we are loving others. A major sign that I've understood how much God has loved me is not by saying, man, I know God has loved me. I can even show it in the Bible. It's not only by shouting, oh, Jesus loves me. A major sign that I know how much he has loved me is that I'm giving the same love to others. So let me tell you, I can tell how much you understand the love of God, not by your explanation, but by how you love others. Are you following me? If you like me saying, sir, I know this teaching now, God loves us unconditionally. If I check how you love others and it's not reflecting, I can beat my chest and tell you, you've not understood the love of God. And I'm right. Let me show you. Go back to John 15. We're going to read this. John 15, everybody, I want you to open it. We're going to read from verse 9 to 17. Very interesting read. John 15, verse 9. Are you there? He said, as the Father had loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, look at verse 10. What did he say in verse 10? Let me see if you're following. What's in verse 10? So, according to verse 10, how do you show that you abide in the love of God? If you keep his commandments, right? So how do I show that I have understanding of the love of God? If I keep his commandments. Now, go to verse 12. Let's now read together, everybody. Verse 12. This is my commandment. So what is his commandment? Love as he has loved you. So when he said in verse 10 that you have to keep his commandment if you know his love, what is that commandment he's talking about? Loving one another. So actually, a better way to read verse 10 will be, if you love one another, even as I've loved you, so shall you abide in my love. Are you getting what I'm saying? So a major proof that you are abiding, growing, understanding his love is that you are keeping his commandments, which means that you are loving others. Let me show you the next verse. Let's continue. He now says, greater love has no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for you. So he's telling you how much he has loved you, that he laid down his life for you. He now said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command. Henceforth I call you not servants, For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things have I heard of my Father, have I made known to you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. So he's still telling us how he has loved us. And I ordained you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he shall give it to you. So he's telling us how much God has loved us. He now closed in verse 17 by saying, these things I command you, that you love one another. In other words, why I'm showing you how much God has loved you, the fact that you can ask anything and you can receive it, is so that you can now love one another. So the purpose of God teaching us his love is so that we can show the same love to others. So God is loving us so much to the end that we will love others the same way. Is someone following me this morning at all? God is loving us. Now, look at that read again. If I have time, go home. Look at it. Verse 13. He said, greater love has no man than this, than that a man laid down. So, first of all, he showed us that he laid down his life for us. That is his death on the cross, right? In verse 15, he told us that we are no longer his servants. We are now his friends. Still talking about his love. Is it very clear? In verse 16, he tells us that he has chosen, we didn't even choose him. He chose us that we should bear fruit. Showing us how much he has loved us. He now got to verse 17 and said, these things I command you. Why I'm teaching you all of this, why I'm showing you this, it's not so that you can begin to say, not just so that you can love me, but that you can love one another the same way. So God loves us and shows us his love to the end that we will return that love to others. What does that mean? A man who has not understood and have not grown his understanding of God's love will not be able to love others as he should. That's why I want to say to you, if you learn love from K-drama, Telemundo, Z-World, African Magic, if that's where you're learning love from, you are about to have the worst kind of marriage on it. The worst kind of relationships. That is not love. That's not love. You want to know how to love? Look at how much God has loved us. Are you following me? One of the points we made when I was having a conversation with the couples yesterday, we got to a point where we were discussing about the fact that there is nothing that is not forgivable in marriage. Now that is a point where people will Telemundo doesn't teach that. African Magic will never teach you that. Because in African Magic, there are things that are not forgivable. One of the points we made yesterday, for instance, when I was teaching them, we made the point that there is nothing like we fell out of love and we grew apart. You know, in African Magic is a legit reason for divorce. Are you following what I'm saying? We fell out of love. I was not just feeling it. There's nothing like that. And I proved that to them yesterday. There's nothing like you're no longer feeling it. Nobody falls out of love. The only thing there could be is that you stopped servicing the love. You stopped giving it attention and then it grew stale. Are you following me? But you never learn that from African Magic. So why did you guys break up? Well, I think I like being real to myself. We tried working it, and I feel if you've tried to work something and it's not working, just let it go. And then the comment section is so full. It says, be yourself, girl. Go, girl. Queen. May. Princess. Go for it, girl. But that's what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, forgive as God has forgiven you. How did Jesus forgive you? Which one will you do now? And God will say, we grew apart. Nothing like that. That's why if you are learning love from the television, your marriage will fail. Because as far as those guys are concerned, they think they're teaching love, but that's not love. It's only if you focus on how much God has loved you, you will know that you can love better. That's why the Bible instructions, it's not for unbelievers. They can't understand it. Yeah, that's the truth. It doesn't make any sense to them, because this thing I'm saying now is nonsense to some people. Total nonsense. So I'm trying to say that if I'm no longer feeling it, I should just be stuck in that prison. You didn't know it was a prison? When you were saying I do, what were you thinking? What did you think you wanted to do? You know, while we're having that conversation, somebody asked a question this day about violence. Say, is violence also forgivable in marriage? Yes. He says, I'm not going to take that. I don't know why I came to this church. Violence is forgivable in marriage. I'm not saying you should go back to the marriage. I said you should be forgiven. But listen. The man who waits for an apology before he offers forgiveness has not learned how to forgive and how to love like Jesus. I said that again. The man who waits for an apology before he offers forgiveness has not learned how to love and how to forgive like Jesus. Jesus loves us and forgives us even without an apology. Let me even prove it to you. The reason why we don't need an apology for God to forgive us is because sorry does not fix sin. Have I told you that before? If you get to the law court tomorrow and they say you stole 10 million naira, guilty or not guilty, you say guilty. But I'm sorry. You are going to jail. I'm sorry doesn't fix sin. What fixes sin is that the price for sin must be paid. And that's the price Jesus has paid for us on the cross. So it's not our sorry that makes him forgive us and accept us. Are you following me, friends? What our sorry does, and all this, I'm sorry, Lord, it just pacifies our own hearts and our own conscience. I'm telling you. That's the kind of mindset you must carry in your life. Don't wait for apology before you offer forgiveness. There are people here that are holding people down. Things, even the man may give for like 3 years now, it's still in your heart. Says, sir, I will never let it go. Every time I talk about it, it makes me want to cry. Oh God, let it go already. Which one is your own? Do you know what you did to Jesus? And what you keep doing every day? Very bad person like you. But he keeps forgiving you. Imagine Jesus says, every time I think about the sin that brother has committed, it makes me cry. I can't let go. You will go to hell. Oh. If he doesn't let you go to hell, forgive already. Don't forgive because the person is deserving of your forgiveness. Forgive as God has forgiven you. Simple. How many of us know we are forgiven of the Lord? You are sure God has forgiven you. So why is it hard to forgive others? Why do you enjoy what you cannot give? You enjoy forgiveness, but you cannot give the same forgiveness to others. And the problem is that if you don't forgive people, your life keeps going in this cycle of defeat and pain. I say it every time I preach on this, and I want to say it before God and to the glory of God. There is no human being on earth, dead or alive, that I have anything against as I'm standing here. Nobody, dead or alive. And I say it with all form of confidence. Nobody. There's nobody I cannot be kind to if the opportunity comes up. There's nobody I cannot sacrifice. There's nobody. In fact, if you hang around me, what you'll be complaining about is that I take my life too carelessly. That'll be your complaint. This guy, you don't even... Because people do things to me and I just let it go. It's not a big deal at all. I'll even tell you, forgiveness, where you forgive people and you've not changed decisions you made because you were hurt, you've not forgiven them. So someone hurts you. You say, I will never talk to that brother again. Then eventually you say you've forgiven him, but I'll still not talk to him. That's not forgiveness. That's what I'm going to say to your brothers and sisters who are in relationships. If there is any reason for you to break up with your partner, you know there are, and there was a time I taught you on that one single corner, there are legit biblical reasons why you can break up in a relationship. You remember that? If there are good, if you want to break up for any reason, don't break up because you are angry. Anger is the last reason. When people come to tell me, sir, I've ended the relationship, and I say, why? Sir, he hurts me. I say, you've not broken up. Because if he apologizes, you will go back. Forgive the person and break up. I agree what I'm saying now. Don't say, I will never talk. If anger was the reason you are breaking up, okay, go back to your relationship. You only break up. The proper breakup is break up. You broke with a clear eye. I'm not angry with you. I've forgiven you. But I've analyzed this relationship. Are you know what I'm talking about? That's not done in anger. I've analyzed this relationship. There could be many reasons. Reason number one, maybe our genotype does not match. You are AS, I'm AS. So even if I'm not angry with you, we have to end it. Those are legit reasons. Are you getting the point? There are other reasons, like I found out our faith does not match. Right? You are a Muslim, I'm a Christian, I don't think we can do this. Or I'm a church person, you don't like church. These are clear reasons. But not because you're angry. Once you say you've forgiven someone, privileges should be offered again. Although in some cases they have to be offered gradually. Because you have to protect yourself. I get what I'm saying. Are you following me? If someone tried to poison you and you survive, forgive the person. But offer privileges back, but gradually. Don't forgive today and appear in the house tomorrow to eat. He said, where is that rice you gave me? That the one used to poison me. Bring it again. This time the poisoning may now work. Because God knows you are foolish. So you just... But don't claim you're forgiving someone where you've not changed anything. I've forgiven you, but I'll never talk to you again. I've forgiven you, but I'll still block you. I've forgiven you, but you know them now. But don't ever talk to me again. Are you following me? Don't do that. That's why I'm even going to encourage you. I don't know why God is putting it in my heart. Don't ever make decisions because you're angry with someone. I don't believe in that. Don't, if an employer, don't fire your staff because you're angry. I don't believe in that. Because tomorrow I can stop being angry and start reconsidering. If I'm going to fire you, I'm going to sit down and analyze the situation and see they are not benefiting this organization again. And even though I'm not angry with you, I will fire you with my clear eye. Because if anger is the reason I fired you, when I eventually forgive you, I will come under the pressure to restore you. Are you following the point? Don't let anger be why you make decisions. When you are angry, the next thing to do is to forgive the person. Now, if there's another decision you have to take after that, let it not be because you are angry. Let it be because you've weighed the situation and you think this is the best for the situation. Are you following what I'm saying? You have someone, a household living with you, and the person is hurting your kids, beating your kids, right? And all of that. You can forgive if you want to forgive. But then, with a clear eye, tell the person, oh yeah, get out of my house. Because the problem is, if you don't forgive the person, you say, sir, why should I forgive someone that hurts my kids? Never. You think it's the person's problem. It's your problem. You will forever live with an issue of not trusting anybody around your kids. Even the people that should be a blessing to your kids, because of what the other person has done, you will cut off the relationship and say, don't talk to my children like that. You know what's happening? You are struggling with lack of trust. And that lack of trust is coming from that issue that you didn't forgive. Are you following me, friends? Say, I walk in forgiveness. Say it again. No one have your seat. Say, I walk in forgiveness. So let me ask your neighbor, is that someone that you have to forgive this morning? Ask the person. Is that someone? And this is a good day to really say, well, I'm going to let that matter go. Even if they took your boyfriend. His boyfriend they took, no husband. So let it go. You're not even sure if the boy would have married you. My God. I think I'm speaking by the Spirit this morning. If they took your boyfriend, or they took your girlfriend, or your crush, our wife will laugh. Why? This one is so serious. Let it go already. Because eventually, you are going to marry somebody's crush. You know that's the truth. You marry somebody's... Some people that are married, have you observed that for every time you want... the time you wanted to marry, there is one boy or one girl not happy that you are getting married. For every marriage. Because that's your wife had an ex, possibly, or had a crush, or an almost relationship. Or a situationship. And possibly you too, you have someone who has been looking at you, think, so it's just there. So you remember that you hurt somebody too and let it go. Because you are going to marry somebody's crush. Or you think you're the only person noticing that girl. Men others are noticing her. But glory to God, you've won. So celebrate your victory. But forgive. Don't hold things down. And I like saying this all the time, even as I begin to wind down. Some of you are still angry with your parents. Some are still angry with their parents from home. Forgive as Christ has forgiven you. He says, my father was never there for me. My father never paid my fees. Now, is that a possibility? Yes. But you know, I've always said this many times in this church, and I want to repeat it again. Especially to the men. Brothers, listen to me. Many of us, not me, but some people, had a very terrible relationship with their fathers. And some of you are still angry because of it. And that's why you see on Mothering Sunday, every man will be saying, I'm doing this for mama. Nobody does for papa. Because many men are not happy with their fathers. Now, listen to what I'm saying. They may not show it, but it's there. You see a guy say, I'm hustling for mama. What of papa? And it's there. There's an underlying hatred for fathers. It's there. So if we're coming back, we can buy mama wrappers and buy papa schnapp. You know schnapp? So that he will drink and die. And I'm trying to teach you this. It's there. But look at the problem. If you do not heal from that issue, you will eventually become that kind of father. Because what you've not forgiven occupies your mind and is forming you into that kind of person. You don't know until you are married. In fact, if some of you are wise, if you tell yourself the truth, the same way your father treated you is how you are treating your younger siblings now. Pay attention. The reason is because you've not forgiven that relationship. Are you following the point? If you're angry with your father, break that, stop that this year. Stop it this year. If you're angry with your mother, the same thing, no. Stop it this year. Stop it. And some people are angry with their fathers because they think their mothers love them more. You know, that's actually not very correct. Now, if you're a man here and you say he's a liar, my mother loves me more, don't worry, you're about to become a father. And you begin to see things differently. And I gave you the example in church one day. A child is going back to school and comes to daddy. Daddy, I'm going back to school. The father gives him 15,000 for transport and for other things. He said, daddy, I want more. This money is supposed to get out of this place. And then, as the child is angry, the mommy calls him at the side and says, sorry, oh, just take this 2,000. This is all I have. So he now goes on Facebook and says, mothers are the best. What of the best that gave you 15K? That's why I'm going to tell women, some of you are growing into mothers, don't do that. If your husband has said, go to school 15,000, when the child comes to you, tell the child, that is what we gave you. Go to school like that. Are you following what I'm saying? Because they are sowing a terrible seed. Because as far as the father is now, the child is now concerned, mommy loves him more than daddy because mommy gave me extra 2K. You know, it's not about the 2K, but she understands me. When I talk, she sees it from my perspective. Really? What if you meet the woman you should have met your husband and said, babe, let's give this guy more money. And he says, I don't have again. He said, take this 2,000 and add for him. Now you are building a strong family in the future. I get what I'm talking about. You are building something solid. Because that's what is funding most of these people. Say, fathers are not there. They are not there. They pay your fees and do the basic things. But what you count as love are the things that are not basic. What are those on basic things? I told mommy that I needed extra 1K. He said he will not give me. Then I called my mom. Before I knew what was happening, she sent the money. Who sent the one you are surviving with before? This hatred against fathers is breeding a terrible next generation. Because they are going to become worse than your father if you don't forgive your father. It's not following me this morning at all. You're going to become worse than your father if you don't forgive your father. Amen. You have to hear me. Because some of you already grew. You're already seeing things from your father's perspective. Someone posted on Facebook, say, I now see. Somebody said, I now see why my father sits outside every day listening to radio. Because sometimes as you're coming back to the house, this bill, that delight has finished. When you left, to NEPA came, they cut light. Sometimes you just want to sit down outside. You know that there are long seats. Tyra, pass it down there. Just listening to radio. So forgive. I don't know. God is putting this father thing strong in my spirit this morning. If you're a lady here, you're a man, you're angry with your father, forgive already. He says that you have abandoned us at birth. It's okay. Sorry. But if you don't want to abandon your own children too, forgive your father. Because you will soon become the same thing you are angry with. That is why the way God corrects, one of the ways God corrects the things that went wrong in your family when you were growing up is by teaching you the love of Jesus. The way you announce, even though you didn't have a father who was all loving, now you have a father in heaven who is all loving. Focus on that particular love. Stop looking at what your parents did wrong. Focus on the love of your heavenly father. Let that love now empower you to forgive your own parents. Forgive your parents. Forgive your siblings. Forgive your friends. Forgive your secondary school friends. Some are still angry with a teacher in secondary school. Now, you're laughing at some of these things, but I'm a pastor and I've seen some of these things practically. And how you know that stay hot is that every time they tell you the story, they will cry. If something happened to your past and every time you're about to tell that story, you still cry, oh God, you have not moved on from it all. Move on very well. Should I say it again? If something happened to your past and every time you talk about it, even after 10 years, you still cry. You have not forgiven, no. You've not moved on, you're not fine. A guy broke your heart 5 years ago. When I ask you 5 years after, he says, I don't like talking. I don't like. It's well. Let it go. You have not healed though. I'm not saying it to make you feel bad. I'm saying it for you to heal. I said, how do I heal? I want you to focus on how much God has loved us. Learn it. That is the only way you can give back that same kind of love. Imagine God keeps malice. Imagine he bears grudges. Imagine he's thinking about every bad thing you have done. He always remembers it. Imagine that. So that he just looks at you and says, this is my son. Anytime I think about what you did to me 5 years ago. Do you know what you did to the Lord 5 years ago? Do you even know what you did yesterday? Some of you, he will tell you to preach. You will run away. Some of you, when they came to invite you to church last week, you dodged and said, you're not around. You did it to God's children. And that's the point. But God says, well, I still love you and accept you. Let that fuel your forgiveness. I'd like you to be able to speak like me. That as I'm standing here now, there is nobody dead or alive I have anything against. If that's not where you are yet, start walking towards that. Let go of things already. Are you getting the point? And let me tell you, stop waiting for closure before you forgive. Sure, you know what I'm saying? Say, let's go. What even closure again? Eh? Okay, frontal. See, I want to get closure. Most of those I want to get closure, you get nothing. You awaken the pains and everything and you go home. That's why I don't believe in all those closure thing. Forgive and just day your day. Everybody got all right. Trust be fine. Really forgive. One of the signs of forgiveness is that when an opportunity for kindness shows up again, you don't withhold it. You know what I said now? That's one of the signs that you're forgiving. That if someone hurt you 5 years ago, if you meet the person 5 years after, and you have an opportunity to be kind to the person, you don't say, after everything you did to me, you just show kindness. That's the proof that Joseph had forgiven his brothers. They sold him to slavery. They met him after that. And he still cared for them. Brought them to Egypt. Gave them a house. Changed their life. People that sold it to slavery. Why did Joseph do that? The answer is very clear. In Genesis 45. He told them. That's what I'm teaching you this morning. He told them, you sold me to slavery. He said, but God meant it for good. So he focused attention on God and not them. That's how to forgive people. It's not following me this morning. Focus on what God has done. If you focus on what people do to you, you will never forgive them. Because sometimes you are trying to forgive people, they see they commit. I ever had that kind of case. You are trying to let go of things, the person is still doing more. So look at how God has loved and forgiven you. Let that be the motivation. So I look at the person and say, well, I'm not forgiving you because of you. I'm forgiving you because of him. Hallelujah. Are you here? Then two more things. The love of Christ forgive, loves sacrificially. That's the second to the last thing. Sacrificially. You must also love sacrificially. 1 John 3:16. Hallelujah. Are you getting blessed? 1 John 3 and verse 16. Now, everybody listen to this. Hereby perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. What did he say next? And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So, the same kind of sacrifice we learn in Jesus, we must sacrifice for others too. You have not started loving like Jesus if you don't sacrifice your life for others. Maybe not your life. Maybe your money. If you, let me put it this way. If you only help people when it is convenient for you, you've not learned the love of God. The love of God is spelled sacrifice. He laid down his life for us that we might lay down our lives for others. You know, recently, I saw one of those that train people. The people involved in this might be hearing this from me for the first time. Just recently, I was leaving the office and I was with two people here, two brothers. And the funny thing is that the two of them already mentioned to me in a way of how their life was going financially and how nothing was working at the time. Right? And then, while we were driving down this road, I parked to do something. We stopped somewhere and we saw this lady by the roadside. She was sitting down there crying. Crying loudly. So I don't know how to ignore such things. So I told both of them, go check out what's wrong with her. And they went there to check out what's wrong with her. And eventually, it was a financial issue. You know, she had a baby. The baby had to eat. And she didn't have anything. And the one that she worked, they've locked her out. A lot of things involved. Now, and they came and told me. And I said, probably should sort it out. I'm sure possibly what came to their mind is, it's not me that just left the office 3 minutes ago telling you about how my life is a mess. And they obeyed and they sorted it out. You know what I was trying to teach them? I know that everything is not fine. But I know that from the little you have, you can help this situation. That is what the love of God is. It doesn't only thrive in convenience. I feel what I'm talking about. He laid down his life for us. How convenient do you think it was to lay down his life? You think it was easy? Everybody, please look at that 1 John 3:16. I want us to read it together. 16, 17, 18. Open it, everybody. Are you there now? I'll wait for you because it's a very interesting read. So that you learn how to love like Jesus. Loving like Jesus is not about loving when you can. Giving when you can. Doing your best. That's not loving like Jesus. Are you there now? Let's read together, everybody. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, verse 17, everybody. But whoso had this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God? He said, if you see your brother that he has a need, and you have money, and you don't give, how is that the love of God? Now, see verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So the love of God is spelled sacrifice. If you only give when you can, you don't love anybody. If you only do things when it is convenient for you, that's not love. You know, that's why when I was joking with you guys, I told you guys, I saw this on social media. Somebody said, it really made me laugh. It's actually true. Sometimes you are taking from your savings to save someone who has decided not to touch his savings. Sometimes like that. That's the people don't give because they have. They give because God has stirred their hearts. Be that person that God always says that sometimes when you don't even have enough. 1 John 3:16, we just read that. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15, it tells us about the love of God is sacrifice. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. Are you there now? I read it to you. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead. Verse 15, what did he say? And that he died for all, that they which live should no longer live for themselves. So the reason he died, so that we'll stop living for ourselves. So he sacrificed for us, so that we can sacrifice for others. That is the love found in Christ Jesus. I read the one last scripture on this. John 15 verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man laid down his life. So when he says love as I have loved you, he went to the next verse and told us how he has loved us. How did he love us? He laid down his life for us. That is the same way we love others. A sacrifice. Are you following me? If I only show up here to teach you, to counsel you, to do things for you as your pastor, when I can and when it's easy for me, I don't love you. That's not the love you have in Christ. Anybody can do things when it's easy for them, when it's convenient for them. Love is sacrifice. Are you following me? Are you following me, friends? You know, one of the ways I know that people love this church, you people love this church. And I'm not saying it to praise you. I'm just telling you what I know. And I don't say it because every pastor says they love. No, you people love this church. There are people here that love. Do you? If I tell you how much that has gone into, I'm talking about this building now. This building, we are almost getting to 100 million already spent. Almost. And of all the money that has come from outside this church, we don't have up to 2 million that people outside church has given. So everything has come from within. If you know the kind of sacrifices, I get what I'm saying. The kind of sacrifice. Sometimes I know people that have put up their things for sale to be able to complete this building. People call me every day and say, sir, pray. Some call me and say, sir, pray for me. We put up this, that for sale. Pray that it sells at a good price. We are giving everything to the building. Now that is love. Because it's not done conveniently. Are you getting the point? And this thing, apart from that, I'm announcing today that it is pure love. Apart from that I'm announcing it, you are not aware of it. We don't give them mic to say, me and my household, when they say no, no, we are supporting this building with the sum of 5,500 naira. Something like that. So they do it secretly and they're fine. Now, that is the proof of love. So for me, that you love this church is not because you are here shouting, Pastor, we love you. Mm-mm. It's my sacrifice. That same way, you see your marriage, you see your relationship, the proof that you love your spouse. It's not by saying, I love you so much with all my heart. It's in the sacrifices. The proof that you love your neighbor is that you can sacrifice. The proof that you love that sinner on the street is that there can be rain, there can be sun, and you step out in the rain and the sun and leave your work and sacrifice to go preach the gospel to them. That's the proof of love. I get to the point. Very soon, by June, we're going to do a crusade here. That crusade is going to cost tens of millions. People are still going to sacrifice, not just for the church, but for the sinners there. We are going to bring relief materials. We are going to share food. We are going to share clothes. We are not going to do it because we have. Sometimes when we share these things, I can tell you, we sometimes don't have up to 1 million naira as a church. Sometimes not even up to 500,000 naira as a church. But we still take and we share to people. It's not because there is too much available. It's because love in Christ is spelled sacrifice. If it's not sacrifice, it's not love. Are you following what I'm talking about? It's not love. It's not love. So Jesus did not die because it was easy for him to die. Before his death, we saw him crying. Abby? We saw him in tears. We saw him saying, if he's supposed to let's go apart from me. It was painful. But he sacrificed. And that's the same thing. If you will reduce your own love to convenience, how is that love? Who cannot love conveniently? Anybody can love. No, that's what Jesus told them. Jesus told them, you do good to your friends only. He said, even the heathens do that. The real problem is they can do good to your enemies. So, asking you now, who cannot love conveniently? If I have 10 million, who cannot give 5K if he has 10 million? Almost everybody can. True or true? 10 million, 5K. People can have, if you have 100 million, I can give you 10K. That's not anything. But I appreciate you. You know, the proof of love is that one that has 100,000 and says, I don't really have much, but this, you need your school fees. I can't give you everything, but I'll give you like 40 or 50 from it. And all he has is 100,000. That is what we're talking about. That person just gave you about 40% or 50% of his money. It's what I'm talking about. That is love. You can't claim you love sinners when you only preach to them when you can. When you meet them on the road, you preach to them. If you cannot sacrifice and carry your Bible and go out under the rain, under the sun, under harsh conditions, from door to door, knocking on their door, and they insult you and you take it, you don't love them. The real proof of love is spelled sacrifice. We're seeing from the Bible. So when we learn how much Christ has loved and sacrificed for us, it should motivate us to love others sacrificially like that too. Are you following me? So how has God loved us and loved us sacrificially? Then the last thing I'm going to say today, how has God loved us? His love pursues the lost and his love pursues the weak. We must be such people who also pursue the lost and pursue the weak. Kind to the weak, kind to the lost. Kind to the weak, kind to the lost. Many of us are not like that. Kind to the weak, kind to the lost. You see, in this church, even in the body of Christ, one of the times to prove that you really love people is when they are weak, when they are lost. Okay, let me bring it home. When people are in their worst state. You know, Jesus shows up in people's worst states. Are you aware? Jesus shows up when people are abandoned. Friends run away when you are abandoned. That's not friendship. That's not love. The love of Jesus, you just, the choir sang it this morning. God, you pursue me. You heard that this morning? God, you pursue me. He pursues us. We sing it every day. No shadow, you won't light up mountain. That's way. He lighted up every shadow. He climbed every mountain. And he came after us. That's how we love people. So when people are weak, when your friend is all over the news on social media for something bad and nobody wants to associate with them, that is when you should show up. Are you following me? Even if your friend is guilty. Do you hear what I'm saying now? Now that's not the kind of love they teach on social media. On social media they say, don't defend nonsense. If somebody is wrong, call the person out. The people saying those things cannot even take what they are demanding. There is something about, you know, when I see people, listen, you know, there are some pastors I know that get on the news sometimes, and I know they are really, really wrong. And I'm not the type that will go on social media to start defending anybody. But I'm always happy when I see that their friends still rally around them. He said, if people are running around somebody that is bad, what should we do? Now, if those people are good friends, they might have cautioned him inside. Because no true friend cautions his friend on social media. He's not following me this morning at all. You think if anybody in this my church now, not you, but if anybody here gets into that kind of public scandal, maybe someone rises to a public office and there is a big scandal like that, what do you think I'm going to do? Come out on social media to say, I'm standing for Jesus, he's wrong. I'm not going to do that. I won't do that. Call me anything you want to call me. I won't do that. I will call the person inside and say, you tell me the truth. Did you do it? And he says, yes. I say, what is everything I'm teaching you? Don't want to. I can do all that. I can even put him on regimen. I can do all of that. But I will never get on that space to go and say, he's wrong. Who is wrong? He's right. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm telling you me. Because that's how God is. He will always commend us outside. He will judge us inside. Are you aware? Inside, if you just go to pray and he's just showing you in scriptures, you are wrong. But out there, he's still saying, this is my beloved son. That's the kind of love you have in Christ. Not the kind of love that abandons people. When people get into issues, you run away from them. Why are you a friend? You run away from them. When everything is fine, you show up again and start smiling with them. That's not friendship. The love of Jesus sticks. Have you observed? He sticks in your worst moments. When everybody has turned their back on you. That's even when he shows up the more and hangs around you. But the love that they teach online, when your mother does something bad, call her out. Even if your spouse. That's why if you go on Facebook tomorrow and post, yesterday was Valentine, you post, happy Val, my love, my sweetheart, you post your wife. You're going to get comments, 50 comments, 100 comments, depending on how popular you are. If by next week you go and post, I'm tired of this marriage, such a wicked woman, how can you pour me hot tea? You're going to get 5,890 comments with 3 million shares. Because people are happy when you are tearing your family apart on Facebook. Are you following me, friends? People are happy when you are tearing your friends up on Facebook. If after this meeting, you can post on Facebook, my pastor is such a blessing. Wow. What a word today. This man can teach. Even when our gen went off, he was still teaching passionately. I love you, pastor. Nobody's going to like that comment. Only your church people will like it. If you come out next week and post, fear pastor, so this pastor, after everything, carrying hair, he still went ahead to take our church money. 200,000 comments. All of them will show up. That's why me, I've stopped going to church. Know God for yourself. Know God for... Liar, you don't even know God. Because if you know God, you won't be talking like that. Because God is love. That's why I stopped going, mingling with pastors 30 years ago. The last time I entered church was 17 years ago. Because, you know, people are happy when you tear your friends up on Facebook. Are you getting the point? When you tear your... Appreciate your wife tomorrow, they'll say you're doing too much. Post that you had it, you just found out that your child is not your child, you did DNA test, and your wife, hey, you are back. You are about to trend. Don't give the world what to feast on. Be that kind of friend that will stick. That if you have issues with your wife, you sort it out within yourselves, deal with it, trash it, and if your wife or your friend is out there in the public, you stick stronger and closer than a brother. Now, don't be the kind of friend that condones sin. Be the kind of friend that can tell your friend, now, wow, which kind? Are you what I'm talking about? But then you stick. And even when your friend withdraws, when people withdraw because they feel they've done too much, be the kind of friend that will go close to them and reassure them, pursue them. The love of Jesus pursues us. Are you getting the point? Pursue them. Say, what's up? Why? We've not been seeing you around. Is it because of this thing that happened? Come on now. Nobody's thinking about that again. Come to church. Come to church. Leave all those things. Are you following the point? If your pastor friend is afraid to host program again because of some scandals he has, be the kind of person that will say, is he hosting program? That's a program. In fact, I have a meeting coming up tomorrow. Come and preach. Yes. That is the love of Jesus. When you assure the person has repented and all of that, restore the person. The Bible said we should restore people. Are you following me? Don't be the kind of love. You know, we all like singing, he leaves the 99. Always follow one. So, all of us want to be the one that is being followed. We want God to leave all of us and follow you. But you can't do that for people. What if you are the one that needs to follow? You are the one that is supposed to be like Jesus that will follow people. Will you do that? Do you know what it means for just to abandon 99 people and pursue one person? That's this kind of love. But that's not the kind of love that we see everywhere. When it's good, people show up. When it's bad, they withdraw from you. That's why I say, don't learn love from social media. Did you follow what I said now? Don't learn love from Telemundo. They have nothing to show. That's not love. Don't learn love from Nollywood. It's only in Nollywood that I've seen girls, ladies that are married, have friends, other ladies, who they share everything that happened in their marriage with. Only in Nollywood. You can't do that. Your marriage will be RIP very soon. Are you following me? We stick. Practice this love. The same way he loves us unconditionally, the same way he forgives us without restraint, the same way he sacrifices for us, the same way he pursues us when we are lost and when we are weak, we must do the same for others. If you are here and you've abandoned your friend when they had their worst moments, you were wrong. You should go back and restore such people and apologize to them. Because if you are wise enough, you will know that this world is a cycle. Somebody may be in the news today for something bad. In less than 2 weeks, the news is over. Are you getting the point? Once he does one good thing, they forget the other ones. So you abandon your friend for what have you. You know, when pastors come into the news for such things, and their members are defending them, and people say, why are you defending him? I'm not saying members should defend them, but I'm wondering, what do you want them to do? They should join and tear him apart? Is that what you want? Some of you even wonder, why are they defending pastors? What do you want them to do? I see foolish people online. The other pastor was on news recently for getting a tattoo. People are running crazy. And I even saw some people that say, me, I'm your member, but I like to call a spade a spade. They're calling a spade on Facebook. Now somebody is saying, Pastor, are you supporting tattoo? That's not what I said. And that's not what I did not say. Amen. You want to know my stand on tattoos and all of that? Go get my teaching on outfits. It's on the website, so don't ask me. You can listen to the teaching. That teaching is over close to 5-6 years ago now. 2019, so go and look for it. It's there. Outfits. I'll be teaching too on food and what we eat. You want to know what I believe on alcohol, drugs, go and listen to it. Are you getting the point? But the point is, if it was your elder brother that got that tattoo, will you drag him? If we love, let's even assume the pastor was wrong. Let's assume he was wrong. The love of Jesus does not abandon. So I saw some people dragging another pastor for publicly identifying with that pastor. And I said, are they not friends? So should he not, so he should abandon his friend because he drew something on his hand? I'm teaching you, I know you don't, if some of you are uncomfortable with this and I'm saying. But it's fine. Learn it. Don't be quick to turn your back against your friends. You know why? You will soon be on the news too. See this life? You go reach everybody. You will still be on the news one of these days. And guess what you'll be expecting? You want your friends to stick with you. So why do we so much love grace, but we don't have it to give to others? The man who believes in grace must be gracious. The man who believes in receiving grace from the Lord and from people, you want people to show you mercy, you must be merciful too. That's the love of God. Why you blessed this morning? Because love is merciful. He pursues. You must learn of his love. So we must continue this cycle. The cycle is learn of his love, practice that love towards others, learn again. So as we learn how much he has loved us, we give the same love to others. That cycle continues. That way, you will be a powerful lover. Not just in your relationship, generally. People will look at you and be, you are far too kind. They don't know it's not because of you. You're just looking at Jesus and how much he has loved you. Are you following me? People say, the way you forgive things like that, you just smile. How he has loved us. That's why I say to pastors in ministry, as I close now, you cannot effectively do ministry and keep a pure heart in ministry if you've not understood the love of God. Because this ministry thing, they will hurt you and break your heart in ways you don't understand. And you must be able to carry on the ministry thing without any hurt. You know the reason many pastors' children today cannot do ministry is because their parents were badly hurt. And their parents shared those hurts with them. And they even hate church because of that. If you're a pastor's child here, the Lord said I should say to you, you have to really forgive people that hurt your parents. Let the matter go. Are you following me? Forgive people. Somebody, a guy sat in the office and told me, he said, this church mentioned a very popular church. He said, my father was part of the founding pastors of that church. He said, but as the church began to grow, they played politics. If the way he put it, he said, as the church began to grow and it was not time for them to start making money. That's how he put it. And by that he meant, when the churches began to have big branches and they were meant to be posted to those big branches as founding pastors, he was still sent from village to village. At a time, in fact, he said, throughout their lifetime, his father's lifetime, he lived in Face Me, I Face You. He said, but the main people that pioneered that church, all of them are big boys all over. I know the people he's talking about. Big boys all over the country. So my father was one of them. He said, but they played politics. He said, this church thing, I'm done. You know, the thing about it is, and I feel like the Lord saying I should say this. That day I told him, I said, how are you today? He said, fine. You're doing well? He said, yes. I said, how are your brothers? Tell me about your family. And all of them, we are doing well. I said, do you think God forgets his people? He said, the price your father paid, you people are reaping it today. He's not following me at all. He said, and I said, if you don't totally rid your heart of that bitterness, you will not walk into the fullness of what God has laid up for you. God keeps covenants to 1,000 generations. What he starts with one, he continues with others. So don't be in that bitterness. What they did to my father, let go of it already. There are actually benefits from the prices your father paid coming your way. But you have to let go of that pain and that hurt in your heart. He told me his story and it was very pathetic. Went to have a haircut somewhere. And the lady that was, I went with one of my brothers. Lady that was, it was a lady. Very. I don't let ladies touch my hair, but that one, she was doing well. I said, fine. So she was cutting there. And she, but the way she was talking, I just felt there is godliness in this lady. I could just feel it. So I told her, I said, how far? I want to invite you to church. She now laughed. She said, I know you're a pastor. I said, how do you know? I said, ah, you came and I know you're a pastor. I know pastors when I see them. I said, why? I said, because my father was a pastor. I said, oh, wow. Sorry, I was trying to invite you. He said, no, don't tell me sorry. I've not been to church in over 10 years. Why? The same thing. The father was poorly treated, and eventually when the man died, they turned against the mother. You know church now. No, we all come from that. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You know how it is. I said, but if you don't forgive that and let that thing go. But she told me, well, that she has finally, that last year, she made peace with herself and with God. That she said, you come to church, but she started going to a church. One church. So she just goes once, just trying to. I said, just let it go until you are fine. I said, because God has plans for you. God keeps covenants to 1,000 generations. So he still has you in his agenda. Are you following what I'm talking about? And I explained to her. So pastor's children, it's okay now. Let go of those things. As long as they're not pastor's children, they did things against your father growing up. It's time to let go of it. God has loved us so much. You must give back that same kind of love. The reason I've not fully told my dad's story That's my biological father. He's joining this pastoring team. Why I've not told the story openly? It's because some of the figures involved in it are still alive, and I just want to protect their name and their integrity and all of that. But we had our fair share of that. If I tell you some things, you're going to be so shocked. Yes. One of the pastoral schools he wanted to go to, when they eventually wrote the exam, got the whatever, somebody went behind, played some card, took that particular slot. There are a lot of stories. And the person became a priest and a pastor and all of that. So, point is, you can't keep those things. Love like Jesus has loved you. Are you following what I'm talking about? Love the same way he has loved you. Sacrifice for others. Come across their children tomorrow. Be kind to them. Are you following me, friends? They are in trouble. Go all the way for them. Don't do it because of them. Don't even expect a thank you, because they may not thank you. Because if they are the focus, they will commit more. Just for the Lord. When they say, why are you this good? You are just trying to form goody two shoes. I'm not trying to be goody two shoes. I'm just thinking about how much God has loved me. And I cannot help but love you the same way. Why are you blessed this morning? I just feel something strong in this atmosphere. Please stand to your feet. Just ask God for help. Some of you are struggling with issues around forgiveness, pain and all of that. And you walk out. I will give you 2 minutes. Just pray in this place. Say, Lord, help me to let go of this and let go of that. We are done. Just pray that prayer. Everybody in this place. Just pray. So if you need to go and rebuild certain things around you, some of you that are struggling with letting things go, just ask God to help you. Now please look at me. The Lord just said this to me. There are some of you that have been experiencing some sort of demonic attacks. That's what it looks like. You're having bolts of attack keeps coming. But look at what the Lord said to me. He said the opening to the door you open for the devil in your life, why those attacks are coming, is that unforgiveness. Somebody did something very terrible and it's difficult to let go. In fact, hear what I'm going to say. If someone hurts you and the person is even trying to hurt you through diabolic means, and you are still in full pain and hurt against that person, you are empowering whatever that person is doing to work against you. See what I said now? Because the Bible said that anger gives a foothold to the devil. That anger, that pain you have against that person, will help that thing he's doing against you to work fast. Lift your hands in this place, everybody. Father, we ask that strength be ministered. Strength to cooperate with your will and to love as you have loved. Just pray. Pray briefly. I just want to close. Pray briefly. Just sing this song in the background while they pray. Just pray. When I think about your goodness. Just pray.
Each day I'm convinced it's not because I am worthy to receive the kind of love that you give. But I'm grateful for your mercy. Lord, I'm grateful for your grace.
Can you go from the top again? When I think about your goodness, go from the top again.
When I think about your goodness,
all those sing that part, the part that shows how much God has loved us.
And your faithfulness each day.
If you think about this, you know there's nothing you cannot actually forgive.
I'm convinced it's not because I am worthy to receive the kind of love that you give.
He loved us unconditionally.
Woo. And I'm grateful for your mercy. Lord, I'm grateful for your grace. And because of how you bore out yourself, I have come to sing the song out in praise. Amen. Amen.
Ooh. Think about this love.
And your faithfulness each day.
How much he has loved, forgiving us, sacrificed for us. Not because we deserved it.
To receive the kind of love that you gave. God, I'm grateful for your mercy. Lord, I'm grateful for your grace. And because of how you fall out yourself, Lord, I have come to sing the song out in praise. Amen. Amen. Oh,
I'm giving 2 minutes. God is working on some hearts here.
Amen.
Ooh.
Amen. As more.
Sing that part again. Who am I? Who am I, Lord? Who am I to sing your praises?
Who am I to worship you? It's your blood that makes the difference in me, yes. And made a way to enter into your throne. I could not come near your presence. I could never sing your song. The sacrifice on Calvary Street is the reason I can cry out today. Amen. Amen. Oh, Kaka. Oh, yeah, Karu.
If you think you want me to pray for you, to make lessons on you on this matter around forgiveness, you just need strength in that area. I want it to come. If you just, in this particular issue of forgiveness, something, maybe you need strength to be able to deal with certain things that have been going on around that area, and you want God to help you break loose from that cycle of pain, unforgiveness, and all of that. Yes.
And when I think upon your goodness.
And many of you, I'm seeing some cases here of people who we are even hurt in some ways I don't want to talk about. Some I'm seeing cases of betrayal, I'm even seeing cases of rape around here. And it's been a struggle. But God wants to help you today. Yes.
Lord, I'm grateful for your mercy.
Woo.
Lord, I'm grateful for your grace.
Just ask the Lord for help as you're out here. Today will be the end of that drama. Some of you have been struggling with things in your mind. There are some persons the Lord is saying, as you say, a demon is already supervising this particular situation and is keeping you in a perpetual chain of pain and bitterness. And by this impartation, you are breaking some of you. This pain in your heart is no longer just ordinary. Devil is not capitalizing on it, but break free now in the name of Jesus. Break free. Break free now. Break free in the name of Jesus. Today's the end of it. Break free. 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 Break free in the name of Jesus. Break free, sister. Break free from that chain, with that cycle of pain. Break free now. Break free. Break free. Break free from that cycle of chain. In the name of Jesus. Break free. That pain has come to an end. Yes, sister. Woo. Now know the freedom of God. Know that freedom. Break free from that cycle of pain. Break free now. Break free, sister. Break free. Makush kida kronda pandia. Break free now. Break free. Break free. Break free, sister. Not anymore. Break free from this pain. Break free now. Woo! You will know the peace of God from now. Break free from that pain. Break free. Yes, you will know the peace of God from now. Break free. You will no longer be tormented by those thoughts. By those thoughts. By those thoughts. By those thoughts. No more. Thank you, Lord. Break free now. No longer. No longer. Those thoughts are ceasing from your head now. Those voices are ceasing from your head now. Thank you, Lord. Break free from these things. Woo. It's time to live freely. It's time to live freely. So you voices, as torments of hell, let go of this one now. Thank you, Lord.
When I think upon your goodness,
no more, no more. Strength is now ministered.
And your faith from that each day.
Break free, break free. It's time to live freely now. You torments and voices and thoughts that keep playing back images from the past. That cycle has ended now. Break free from that pain. And from that pain. And from that pain. Break free now. Be free. Be free. Be free. Be free. Be free. In the name of Jesus. Be free from that cycle of pain and torment of hell. Break free from it now. In the name of Jesus. Break free from it now. In the name of Jesus. No more. No more. Come to the end now. Break free, brother. Oh, yes. Now you no longer know that pain. No longer know that pain. Break from that cycle of defeat. That cycle of pain. Because even if that keeps playing back. Now, come on. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Break free from that pain. Break free. Those pains that come from betrayal and hurts. Break free from them now.
Lord, I'm grateful for your mercy.
Let's just worship in this place.
And I'm grateful for your grace.
My God.
And be
made this call, I began to pray for this, but the Lord just put it very strong in my heart. There are many of you that are still struggling with pains from the past, but it's no longer ordinary again. It's now masterminded by demons. Because you've had all the teachings. That's what I heard from the Lord just now when I started praying for them. You've had all the teachings. You've known these things. But it's still difficult to move on from those things. And if you are that kind of thing, that influence has just left your heart right now. Yes, you just broke it from it. Because some of you hear these teachings, but it's difficult. And that oppression has come to an end. That games played in the mind have come to an end now. Now, if opened up to the word, the Spirit will fix the rest. You are free from those thoughts. Next time those thoughts come, remember, it's no longer just ordinary. You are now dealing with satanic oppression. And fight it like that. Fight it like that. Lift your hands and just worship Him. Everybody, let's sing it together. We're closing now. Let's reminisce on the love of Jesus in this place. Two more times in this place. Two more times. All over this place. Sing from your heart. Instruction that Lord just put in my spirit strongly. I just heard the Lord say, He said, the church is my bride. And He told me, He said, I love the church so much. He gave me two instructions I want to give to some people here. Number one, if you left your former church because you were hurt, go back there and apologize and make things right. Even if you will leave, go and make things right. You know what I said? That if you left a former church because you are hurt, go and make things right. Even if you will leave, make sure you return to make things right. I heard from the Lord clearly. Once you left a church, a living church, because you were hurt, go and make things right. Second instruction the Lord said I should give. If you've done anything in the past to publicly jeopardize or bring down any church or any pastor, go and apologize to the person and make things right. This is direct instruction of the Lord. We did anything to publicly jeopardize or humiliate or embarrass or hurt any pastor, any man of God, go and make things right. I heard this. Lord said, the church is my bride and I'm jealous for my bride. That's what the Lord said to me. He said, the church is my bride. I'm jealous for my bride. The church will never be a perfect place. I get the point. But it will remain the bride of Christ. That's the same thing we are teaching. That your spouse will not be perfect, but she will remain your wife. I get the point. The church is not a perfect church, but she remains Christ's bride. And you as a man, with how imperfect your wife is, if somebody fights your wife, you are going to fight back. You know, do you know, even if you finish having a fight with your wife in the morning and you guys are leaving the house and the conductor pushes her, you will fight back. At that point, you forget all the imperfection. You are just protecting your wife. That's how it is. The church may not be perfect, but she is the bride of Christ. I follow what I'm saying. So if you've done something to publicly jeopardize the church or bring down a pastor or something, go. Now, I'm not saying this to make you feel guilty. The Lord just says, go make things right. The much you can. There are things you cannot fix, right? But at least the much you can, you do it right. Are you blessed today? Hallelujah.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.